like to be in control, and I like to be in the know, and I'm not fond of surprises or hastily planned events, and I like to know what's coming ahead of time. Adam and Eve got in trouble in the Garden of Eden for wanting to know it all. And like Adam and Eve, I struggle with the pride of wanting that knowledge, wanting the insight. But in our gospel reading, the problem of the disciples is they want to know who is the greatest, who's the best. They're always competing with one another. I don't have that problem. I don't care about being the boss or being the boss, but not being the greatest. And I don't want to be the greatest. But it's not uncommon for people to try to compete with one another, to try to constantly outdo one another, to try to see who's better or superior. This type of pride is the pride of superiority, wanting to be better than another person. And sadly, it's not the last time the disciples are going to have this discussion. They're going to have it right before Jesus dies, right at the Last Supper. They're going to have this fight again. And they had it right a little bit before that when James and John tried to get Jesus to set them at his right and left hand. So it keeps coming up because they want to keep outdoing each other and they want to see who's the best and who does Jesus love the most and who's his favorite and all that kind of stuff. The problem with the disciples and Adam and Eve and me, and if we're honest, most of us, is the same, even if it manifests itself differently. The problem is pride and arrogance. And in our heart, pride causes us to want to put ourselves in God's place or to be equal with God. And this is exactly what Satan did and still tries to tempt us to do today. You can be like God. Instead of desiring to put ourselves in God's place, though, we have to trust in God with childlike contentment. Jesus answers the disciples' question, as he usually does, by not answering it. Not answering who is the greatest, but by placing a child in their midst and telling them, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven at all unless you are converted and become like this little child. Our psalm uses the imagery of being like a weaned child. And from these images, we learn that childlike humility and trust is what draws us closer to God. Humility and contentment are the antithesis of pride. And we're not unlike the disciples, if we're honest. We need to keep hearing these same things over and over again from the Lord because we keep doing the same foolish things and we keep trying to put ourselves in God's place. We need to be reminded again and again to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. The psalmist says that he's not prideful. It's something that he has learned. He says, I have learned to quiet my soul and to be like a weaned child. He starts by saying that his heart is not lifted up. And the preface to the prayer of great thanksgiving, which we will say shortly, we are encouraged to lift up our hearts to the Lord. But this is different. For the psalmist to say that his heart is not lifted up is for him to say that he's not haughty and prideful. He's saying he's not puffed up with self-importance. Our prayer of confession last week had to do with being puffy. We confessed our puffiness and we asked God to help us not to be puffy. When we lift our hearts up to the Lord, however, we lift them up in praise and in joyful expectation to receive from the Lord. And we're offering ourselves to God in worship. God, for good reasons, known sometimes only to God, doesn't tell us everything. The psalmist also says that he doesn't worry about things that are too profound for him. He's learned that there's some things he's never going to know or never understand, but that it's okay because God knows him and God can be trusted. Job had to learn this lesson as well. He had to learn to be humble like a child. Now, Job was right in refuting his friends who kept accusing him of doing some gross sin or some secret sin in his life that had him become in this condition that he was, losing all of his stuff and his family and being sick and sore. But Job knew rightfully that his suffering came at the hand of God, but Job wanted God to tell him why. He says, God, you come down here and tell me what I've done. He wants to put God on trial. But God showed Job just how finite Job's knowledge was, and that God did not owe Job any explanation whatsoever. Job learned really, he's like, do you control the seas? Do you control the snow? Do you tell the animals what to do? And Job's coarse reply was, I don't know any of this stuff. I repent in dust and ashes. And indeed, Job never does find out why the things happened to him that happened to him. He's never let in on that conversation that God had with Satan. He never finds out about that. But he responds to God with repentance and humility. He becomes as the weaned child with his mother and is content, knowing that God knows what God is doing, even if God chooses not to tell Job everything. We have times in our lives when God doesn't choose to tell us why. But we need to let the Lord set our agenda and align our desires with God's desires. And we can rest in the Lord in the midst of our circumstances, knowing that God is sovereign and in control, and for reasons known only to God, allows things to happen in our lives. We don't like it. We have to learn it, just like the psalmist did. I have learned to quiet my soul. And again, he uses this image of the weaned child, because a nursing infant is totally dependent on its mother. Without the mother, the infant will die. Weaned children still need their mothers, but the weaned child has learned to depend on the mother. The weaned child has experienced some independence and discovered that even though she can feed herself, she still needs her mother to give her food. In his explorations, the weaned child has discovered that there are dangers and things that can hurt and experience pain, and that he needs his mother for comfort and for protection. The weaned child may even return to the mother to nurse, not because mother's milk is necessary at this point for nutrition, but to bond with and be close to its mother. The weaned child seeks relationship with the mother that he or she has come to trust. We are no less dependent upon God than a nursing infant. We need God for everything. But we have to discover our dependence upon God like weaned children. And repentance is the means by which we acknowledge that need for and dependence upon God. We have had experiences, we've gone out, we've tried it, we've done it our way, and we've realized it doesn't work. We know that God is in control. We learn this, and so we return to God as that weaned child say, all right, God, I need you. I know that I need you. I have learned that I need you. And so we turn from our sin and from ourself and turn to the Lord. Our repentance indicates our desire to have that restored relationship with God. We go to God because we want to be there, and God wants us to want the Lord. The Lord doesn't force himself upon us, though he pursues us relentlessly. He's always trying to get our attention. This is why we can grieve the Holy Spirit or resist the Holy Spirit, which we are exhorted not to do. But like weaned children, we run back into God's arms for that safety and comfort and provision and protection. We trust God with a knowledge that is too wonderful to us. The Lord is God, and we are not, and we can feel more than just okay about that. We can hope in that and take joy in that. So, brothers and sisters, may your souls rest in the Lord as a weaned child with his mother. May you have childlike contentment that you don't have to know it all or need to know it all, but fully trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. May you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit convicting you of areas of pride in your life, and may you be quick to repent and to humbly surrender yourself to God. Jesus said, in effect, that only children go to heaven. But John 1:12 tells us, for as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So if you have received Jesus, take joy in your position as God's child. And if you have not received him, come to him humbly as a child, and he will welcome you into his arms and never cast you away. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you call us to be like little children, dependent on you and knowing that we need you. You desire us to come to you because we want to be in your presence. And Lord, help us to repent of our pride and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we start to be prideful, in whatever form it takes. Lord, help us to be as those little children. Help us to trust you with knowledge that is too wonderful for us. Thank you that you are not questioned, you are not threatened by our questions of why. And sometimes you choose to answer them. But help us to be content when you choose not to fill us in on the reasons that are known only to you. Thank you for allowing us to ask, and thank you that you will show us enough information that we need to know, and help us to trust you with knowledge too wonderful for us. Lord, thank you for giving us protection and provision and peace and all the good things that you give us. Thank you for being as a mother to us and a father, taking care of us for all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.